Surprised you, didn't I? How did you feel when we read that passage from Acts of the Apostles a few minutes ago? Randy read it in English, of course, but overlaid on his rendition were passages spoken in Spanish by Gail Wood, German by Lynn Epps, Lingala, an African language, by Doug Thorpe, and Greek by me. Was it confusing? Yeah, I guess so. It's a hard thing when there are crunches and clashes of different languages, and we only used 5 languages among us. Imagine what it might have been like if all the languages represented in the Acts passage were spoken simultaneously. I think there were at least 15 different language possibilities among the nationalities listed. But what happened in that small room when the Holy Spirit descended upon them all was not a cacophony of different languages competing for the ears of the group. Something very different happened. They all understood their conversation with each other, regardless of their native language. It wasn't a sudden implantation of Rosetta Stone software in their brains. It was an implantation of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the intriguing thing was not that the disciples could speak each other's languages. No, it was that they could hear each other's languages in their own language. It was as if when Doug was speaking Lingala with you, even though you don't speak Lingala, you could understand what he said. Doug, can you just do one section of that passage from Lingala? One sentence in Lingala. I'm sure you understood exactly what he said, right? And when I was reading in ancient Greek, badly, my Greek teacher would be very unhappy with me. Okay, let me give you a little bit of the ancient Greek. Kaidosa terata enta urano, ano kaisamea epites ges kato, haima kaipor kai atmida kapnu. And I know you understand exactly what that means too. But imagine if you could suddenly understand what I said. And if Anita stood up right now and started speaking in Hungarian or Korean, you'd get it perfectly. I'm not going to make you do that, Anita. It wasn't the gift of speech. It was the gift of listening. And that may have been yet another example of the Spirit's great wisdom. Because language gets us into trouble, doesn't it? Those of us who've said a harsh or teasing word to another thoughtlessly and then have seen the pain that we wrought know it all too well. And mix in the complications of another language, and the opportunity for massive fail go up exponentially. Seems that every year we hear stories of attempts to translate on the fly that get people into trouble. A very famous one dates back quite a few years when Chevrolet introduced its model called the Nova. How many people remember Novas? Great little car. But if they were selling it in a Spanish-speaking country, they got into problems because what does Nova mean? It doesn't go. No go. Not a good selling point. Ford didn't do much better with a model that it sold in Europe called the Fiera, which translates into ugly old woman. But the best one is a Chinese example. KFC decided that they were going to enter the Chinese market. You know their slogan, finger licking good? It was translated into Chinese as, eat your fingers off. Not too appetizing. So it was a good thing that the miracle wasn't in the speaking. It was in the hearing. Now that's not saying that we don't get into trouble with our hearing as well. Ask any man whose wife says, "How do I look in this outfit?" If he hasn't had training with my husband, who teaches all husbands and husbands-to-be to say, "You always look good to me, honey." The safest response. Whatever he says is going to be ripe for misinterpretation. If he says, "Yeah, it's okay, but I like the blue dress better," his wife's going to respond with, "So you don't like this one?" If he says, "Oh, that dress is fabulous. It makes you look 10 years younger," she'll say, "So you think I look old?" So hearing is a problem too. But it's also the place where we have the most potent possibilities. Think of what Pentecost is. It's the birth of the church when they all can finally talk together, share the things that they learned from Jesus, figure out how to do the ministry that they were charged by Jesus to carry out. And I have no doubt, just like any one of us who's ever served on a committee knows, that each one of them had their own ideas, their own priorities, their own agendas, and each one of them may have thought that they were the only ones who truly understood what the Messiah had taught them, and until now they had no way to communicate with one another. But now they could hear each other, truly hear each other. And so it was possible to join into a conversation across all of those cultural differences, religious practice differences, priorities differences. Note again that the focus is on hearing. Why? Because only when we can hear, truly hear, can we have constructive dialogue. If all we're doing is talking and not listening, if all we're doing is constructing our response to what the other person said, we're not going to get anywhere. My mother, may she rest in peace, used to say, "You have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk." I don't think I always hold to that very well. But it sure sounds like God was following the same principle, giving people the gift of truly being able to hear each other. And I can't imagine a time when we need to return to that gift more than today. Because it seems that we've lost our ability to hear each other, especially when we speak different languages. And we do speak different languages, even if we all speak English. If we're lawyers, for example, we speak one language, the language of the law and the courts, with decisions about plaintiffs and defendants. Torts are not a cake. Who's right? Who's wrong? If we own a small business, we speak another language. Access to capital, how to advertise on a small budget, negotiating with suppliers, satisfying customers. If we're teachers, we speak the language of teachers, expressing our concern for the children with whom we work and their families, worrying about SOLs, worrying about IEPs. If we're clergy, we speak the language of liturgy and pastoral care and spiritual formation, thinking about how we'll feed our flock, how to deal with folks who are unhappy with us, which way we can stretch the day so that we can go to visit those who cannot come to church, and what we're going to preach on next Sunday. Different languages. And it doesn't take a linguistic scholar to recognize that people who speak different languages, even if they have at least a little facility with another language, struggle when they have to deal with each other. So at the very least, if we can hear and understand what the other person is saying, we've got a good starting point. And if hearing is our strength, we're more likely to pay close attention to what the other person says. One of the greatest skills we can exercise if we're trying to come to a place of mutual respect with someone who differs from us is to be able to listen. Just listen and hear what the other person is saying. Because hearing what they say is the critical first step in a dialogue across our differences. And yet we live in a society when we are urged to avoid listening to someone or some group whose opinions don't match ours. We're encouraged to demonize rather than to listen. And in the coming months, we'll see that played out in its most brutal form in the election. The television's already saturated with advertisements telling us not to listen to the other candidate, that all they say is lies. Both sides are guilty of this. Doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter that even if you disagree with much of that candidate's position, there actually might be some common ground between you. None of that matters, just don't listen. Because heaven forbid, you might find some common ground. And yet, one of the very first things that our Creator gave to the newborn Church of Christ was the ability to really hear each other. And in the first months and years of that church, there were many times when the leaders disagreed about matters both logistical and theological. Remember the pitched battle between Peter and Paul. Remember, Paul brought some Gentiles into the Christian church, and they argued about whether or not those Gentiles needed to be circumcised before they were baptized and made Christians. And even on that issue that they both felt so passionately about, they came to a place of peace after some long and slightly heated conversations. That gift of the Holy Spirit, which was implanted in them in Pentecost, gave them the ability to not just argue across their differences, it gave them the ability to hear each other without immediately dismissing the other out of hand. They found that common ground because they ended up doing just what my mother said. You got two ears and one mouth, so you listen twice as much as you talk. In this time when it seems like we are encouraged to do nothing but harden our hearts, in this time when the forces of darkness tell us not to listen to each other, can we regain some of that beautiful gift of Pentecost? Open your ears. Listen. Hear. And then be willing to open your own heart with the love of Christ as you enter into conversation with those who believe differently than you do. You don't have to convert them to your position. That's God's job. If that's what God wills. Just use the gift that was given to you, to all of us, on Pentecost. And here. Amen.